Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Friday, March 6th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Happy Friday, everyone. We made it to the end of the week. UFC 248 weigh-ins coming up in about 2 hours from now. Hopefully, everyone makes weight. Cross my fingers here. Nothing like last week where main event had a guy missing weight. Hopefully, that doesn't happen this week. Hopefully, Yoel Romero makes weight. We know he's had some issues making weight, but I think he will. So we'll see what happens there. Unfortunately, the weigh-ins are a little bit later today, so I won't be able to give live reaction to that. Like last week when me and Cole were here and we had the weigh-in mishap. But either way, hopefully everyone makes weight. And UFC 248 tomorrow, can't wait for this card, guys. It's going to be awesome. And of course, you guys can go back on to the Tuesday's podcast and check out me and Cole Shelton breaking down the whole card. Really looking forward to seeing those fights. But for today, I got a couple pieces of news and a bunch of fight announcements. They really did announce a lot of really big fights yesterday, actually, a couple main events. It seems like the UFC, there's like these lulls sometimes where nothing gets announced, and then all of a sudden, like, they'll announce a bunch of big fights at once. So let's start with the big one here. Amanda Nunes versus Felicia Spencer is official for UFC 250, the UFC women's featherweight title being defended by Nunes for the first time. And this fight makes a lot of sense. I think a lot of us thought this would be the fight next. Of course, Megan Anderson knocking out Norma Duane in impressive fashion, maybe through somewhat of a wrench in it, made the decision a little bit more tough for the UFC. But the fact that Felicia Spencer has a head-to-head win over Megan Anderson, I think that cemented her as the number one contender at 145. So, Amanda Nunes, 19-4 record, and she's currently riding a 10-fight win streak. I mean, she's looked incredible in the UFC. She's 12-1. She's a fantastic fighter. She won the UFC Women's Featherweight title December 2018 over Chris Cyborg in that one-minute crazy fight they had. She has not defended it yet. She's defended her women's bantamweight title twice since then, though, over Holly Holm and Jermaine Duranemi. We all know how good Amanda Nunes is, guys. You don't need me to say it. I mean, look at her wins during this win streak. This is incredible. Two wins over Valentina Shevchenko, a win over Ronda Rousey, Misha Tate, Chris Cyborg, Holly Holm, JDR. I mean, she really is the greatest women's fighter we've ever seen. It's incredible, really, what she's done the last 5 or 6 years. Like, this win streak she has, I don't think there's a better win streak in women's MMA history. I don't even think that's going off a limb there. I mean, just look at the names on that win streak. So she's an incredible fighter. She is 31 now, so she's still in her prime. But at some point, probably will start slowing down. I just don't think yet. She'll probably be one of those fighters that retires before they really start to decline. I think that's kind of how her career will go. But for now, we get to see Nunes do her thing inside the cage, and it's a lot of fun to watch. She'll be taking out Felicia Spencer here. Felicia's 29, so a little bit younger. She's 8-1 in her career, and she is 2-1 in the UFC. She beat Anderson, and she beat Zaire Farron in her last fight. Has the loss to Chris Cyborg. You know, I honestly think that Spencer is the best women's featherweight besides Nunes right now in the UFC, but I don't even think that's saying much. I just think Nunes is just so dominant right now. It's very hard to go against her, even against a fighter like Spencer, who's proven to be a very difficult opponent for most fighters that she comes across. Really, only Cyborg was the person that was able to give her any issues. And even in the Cyborg fight, she was able to go the distance and take a lot of punishment in that fight. So she's very durable, very tough, but I can't really see her lasting 5 rounds with Amanda Nunes. I think Nunes probably gets a finish in this fight either via TKO or via submission. But of course, that fight is happening in May at UFC 250. I believe it's the co-main event, and Aldo versus Cejudo will be the main event, although it could be swapped around, but I'm pretty sure Nunes is going to be the co-main event. She usually is on these big cards. So that card shaping up to be pretty good, and this is obviously a big fight. As far as the odds go, I didn't see anything yet. Let me double check if they popped one up yesterday. Let's see, nothing yet, but I'm assuming that Nunes will be pretty heavily favored to win this fight. All right, next up we got, I'll talk about some news first and I'll do some fight announcements after. Israel Adesanya, he did a media interview yesterday in Las Vegas before UFC 248, and one of the questions asked to him was basically, do you think you're the greatest dancer in UFC? And I think a lot of people would say he is, and right now he probably is, but you know, I love this answer he gave. He said, yeah, he's like, a lot of people say that, but for me, he said, Ryan Jimmo was the best dancer we've ever seen. And I thought that was so awesome for him to say that. You know, Ryan Jimmo was a really good fighter from up here in Canada. I remember watching Ryan years ago in MFC. He was a champion there. He got a chance to fight in the UFC, and he actually went 3-4 in the UFC. He had this crazy knockout over Anthony Perosh in his UFC debut back at UFC 149 in July 2012. So one of the worst cards of all time. But he got a 7-second knockout, and he did the robot after, which was a great dance. And he had a lot of dance moves during his career. Tragically, he was murdered in 2016 during a hit and run. He got into an argument with some guy in a parking lot, and this coward ran him over. The guy that killed him, Anthony Getchell, he's currently serving 8 years in prison for killing Ryan Jimmo, which was just a cowardly, disgusting act. And I hope nothing but the worst for that scumbag. You know, for Ryan Jimmo, though, I mean, just it's very sad what happened to him. I mean, he really was, for all accounts, a great guy and a great dancer. So for Adesanya to go out there and say that, I thought that was extremely respectful. You know, that was awesome. Seriously, couldn't have asked for a better answer from Israel Adesanya. The guy, you know, truly, he is a very confident guy, brash, some would say cocky, but I think he is also very humble too. And I really like the answer he gave. So I thought that was super cool of him to give Ryan a shout out. You know, rest in peace, Ryan. You know, we all miss you, man. Comment here, Kishiro Rodoju. How does Felicia have one win and back into another featherweight title fight? I mean, come on, bro. We know the answer to that. There's like four fighters or five fighters in the division. It's a weak division. It's an awful division. They keep it around for opportunities like this because why not? Like, they have a co-main event now with a title fight, right? That's what they're doing. Same with Flyweight. Cole was talking about this the other day. His point was they're going to keep it around because they have a main event for a fight night card, and that's exactly what's going on here. Should there be a women's flyweight division, bro? I don't think so, but I'm with you on that one. But they keep it around, so they have a nice co-main event with a shiny title on it. Kenshiro Ryodoji, 8 years only, which is sad. Should be at least 30 years or execution life for life. You know, like, we don't have the death penalty in Canada. I think it's 25 years. So that's, and he didn't even get first degree murder. He got, or second degree, even he got manslaughter. So that's why the charges dropped. I think they did like a plea bargain or whatever. But I'm with you. I mean, 8 years, and they had witnesses and stuff, like the guy ran him over. And obviously it was during the heat of a moment kind of thing. And I don't think it was like premeditated murder, but still very, very sad stuff. And I'm with you. 8 years, it seems very light for killing someone with such a bright life ahead of him, like Ryan Jimmo. Only 34. I mean, I'm 31. So, you know, 3 years from now, I don't want to be killed by some idiot in the parking lot. Like, it's very, very sad. What happened to him? What happened to his family? I'm completely with you on that one. So, for sure, 8 years seems very light, but I'm not an expert in the legal justice system. And he says, I guess the guy comes out in 8 years and kills someone else before he's too old to kill people. I don't know about that, man. But definitely some guys that go in, they come on, they're still violent. So, hopefully, this idiot, you know, learned from his horrible mistake. But who knows? Kevin Scott, Spencer isn't back into another title fight. This will be your first. That is correct. The Chris Cyborg fight was not a title fight. Some people were saying that. I don't know why people are confused about that. It was a three-round non-title fight. It was not a main event. It was not a title fight. It was like a number one contender fight, basically. But Chris obviously won that fight and then left for the UFC because – or excuse me, left for Bellator because the UFC and her couldn't get together on a contract to fight Nunes in a rematch. Dana White wanted that fight and whatever. It didn't happen. You know, Cyborg says she wanted it. There was a lot of he said, she said. We all know that video that she posted that she said that she doctored. Either way, she's in Bellator now. She's a featherweight champ there. It worked out for her. By all accounts, she's making a ton of money in Bellator. So good for her. And she's fighting lesser competition. I mean, no offense to Julia Budd. She's a pretty damn good fighter herself. But other than Julia, like, there's not much in the Bellator women's featherweight division. And Kenshiro says, Chris Cyborg's always going to be the featherweight champ in our hearts. It's true. Although Nunes is pretty amazing too, man. I mean, she beat her head-to-head, so that was pretty fantastic. Let's see here. What else? Getting down some other news here. Joanna Jędrzejczyk, she was asked about Colby Covington. She says that Kamaru Usman humbled him. She basically said that since Usman beat Covington, he's actually gotten like a lot better, which I thought was hilarious. We all know Colby's like, you know, one of the most cocky guys in the UFC, one of the most brash guys. I personally dig his thing. I think it's funny. I know some people don't really like Colby, that he rubs them the wrong way. But, you know, for me, Colby's kind of funny and stuff. But definitely he was getting really cocky. It's finished. And she says that Usman humbled him. And she says that he's a lot better to deal with now. She says that she hopes the best for him. He's still a teammate at American Top Team. But she's still upset the way he talked about Masvidal and Poirier. So, you know, Covington, maybe, you know, years from now, he'll look back at this part of his career and be like, you know, maybe I shouldn't have been like calling out my own teammates. I think that's just a stupid thing to do. But, you know, the guy is a really good fighter. And, you know, hopefully he comes back soon. I think the UFC is better off with Colby Covington in it because he does sell fights and he does bring people to the screen to watch a fight, even if they want to see him get knocked out. Daniel Cormier spoke yesterday in Vegas as well, and he was given a jacket as one of the two fighters that's been tested 50 times with no positive tests. Him and Holly Holm both. Fighters that were given those jackets from USADA, which is kind of cool. But he was asked about what's next for him, basically. He said, 205's not really in the works. He doesn't think he can make that weight again, basically. Like, he could if he had to, but we've seen the videos of him cutting the weight to 205. It's a brutal weight cut. Basically, he said that right now he's just trying to get healthy, and he's still aiming for that Stipe Miocic trilogy, and that's probably going to be the last fight in his career. So, you know, this division just, I don't know what's going on with it, guys. Like, we haven't seen a heavyweight title fight since last August. No news to speak of. Stipe, obviously, is hurt as well. He's got an eye injury. DC's healing up from some injuries that he's had. He's in his 40s now. He obviously has a career as a commentator. He's great at that. Yeah, I think this is probably going to be, I mean, Daniel Cormier can still fight at a high level. I think he could beat most of the heavyweights in the UFC, but, like, at this point of his career, at his age, why would he take damage where he can just do the commentary thing and make a decent living doing that, you know? And for Stipe, you know, hopefully his eye heals up really fast and these guys can run it back. I want to see this third fight, but I want to see it soon because it's really not fair to these other guys in the division, like Nagano and Blades, that are waiting for a title shot and they can't get it. Anyways, actually, that's a good segue here because Curtis Blades, he was had his fight announced yesterday, and he's fighting Alexander Volkov, UFC Saskatoon main event of that card. Curtis couldn't wait any longer. He's like, you know what? I don't want to wait. I want to fight. I don't, and I think that's great. Guys like Justin Gaethje that sit around waiting, like it's not smart. And I love Justin. You guys know how much I love Justin Gaethje, man. There's no one that's been a bigger fan of him for years than me. But what he's doing right now, I don't think is smart. He's just sitting on the sidelines waiting for Conor, waiting for a title shot. Like, he hasn't fought since September. He could have had a fight since then. Could have been making money. When you don't fight, you don't make money in the UFC. It's not like a guaranteed contract in MLB or NBA where you just sit on the bench and make money. You can't do that in MMA. You have to fight. So I actually like what Curtis is doing here. He just fought in January, knocked out JDS. Now he's like, you know, I want to get back in there. He's going to fight Volkov. And it's a dangerous fight for him to take, but a fight that he probably should win. You know, he should be favored in this fight just based on the wrestling. And Blades has looked great lately. Three straight wins. Justin Willis, Shamil Abdurakhimov, and JDS. Like, he's looked really good. He obviously has some other big wins, like over Overeem and Olenek, the two losses to Nagano. But still, one of the best guys in the world with that wrestling. I mean, he's just fantastic. And Volkov, he's also a really good fighter. He's coming off a nice win over Greg Hardy to bounce back from the loss to Derek Lewis. Overall in the UFC, he is 5-1. He's won as well. But you got to favor Curtis Blades. I mean, with that wrestling, he could beat most of these guys in the division. Volkov is a very tall guy, keeps the range well, but I think those legs are a little bit too long. And I think that Blades can run up to him, grab the legs, and pull him down and grind him out, if not finish him. So should be a pretty good fight. It's a solid main event fight. They need fights like this to headline those little fight night cards. And yeah, it's just good that Curtis is staying busy. You can't sit out in MMA. You can't just wait in the bench. You can't do that. Not in this sport. You got to make money. And I love how Curtis Blades is like, screw it. I'm not going to wait around for Stipe and DC to figure out what they're going to do. I want to take a fight, which I really respect. A couple comments here. Kevin Scott, Cyborg sparked in less than a minute. She sure as hell is the UFC featherweight champ. A couple guys saying Colby's the GOAT. Of course, Colby's awesome. Kanchiro, you took DC in the first fight. Yeah, that was a great pick, man. And then the second fight, we know what happened there. I don't know. He just got hit to the body a lot. We know that's kind of his weakness. Anyways, a couple other fights here. They're going to do the rematch between Magomed Ankalaev and Jan Kutalab at UFC 249. So running it back very quick. And you know what? I do think the results probably going to be the same thing. I'm going to pick Ankalaev again because I picked him the first time. But I think it's fair to run it back because that stoppage was just so bad. It was so stupid. Terrible stoppage. Hopefully Kevin McDonald's not reffing this fight. Anyways, yeah, they're going to run back. We just saw the fight, obviously, last week and first round TKO, but it was a very bogus TKO call. Still, though, I mean, Ankalaev's a beast, man. I mean, the guy's 4-1 now in the UFC. The Paul Craig fight was 1 second away from winning that fight. Overall, if he had won that fight, he'd be 15-0 in his career. He's a very dangerous guy with his kicks. Three of his last four wins by kicks, knockout, so that's dangerous as hell. And Kutalaba obviously was on the wrong end of that, although we know that he was playing a little bit of possum there. But yeah, he's looked pretty good lately, too. He's won three of his last five by TKO. But, you know, generally when he steps up competition, he loses. His best win's probably Khalil Roundtree, and all his other losses are the guys that are ranked right now. So the guy's decent. He's got some striking power, but, man, he better not play himself like he did last time. That'd be stupid. A couple comments here. Robert Napolitano, Blades could be a champ. I agree completely. I mean, the guy is an absolute beast with his wrestling. We know his chin's been tested a few times, but a lot of guys get knocked out by Francis Ngannou. It's kind of like MMA, right? Like, flip a coin sometimes with these heavyweight fights. You get caught in the chin. You get put out. That's it. it is what it is. I think that he beats like 95% of the fighters in that division right now. I don't know if he beats Stipe, to be honest with you. I think Stipe probably does take Blades. Nagano obviously would probably beat Blades again. But other than that, I mean, most guys he beat. I guess DC beat also there. I don't even know if I consider him a really active fighter anymore. Mm-hmm. Kenshiro, Ryo Doju, Angela Hill fought 6 times in 1 year. Won a lot of money off Angela's last 2 fights. That was smart of you. I've always bet against her. She keeps winning. So she looked good. And you said she's 35, but she's looking better. And I agree with you 100% on that. But yeah, Angela Hill, you know, taking opportunities when she gets them. UFC calls her up, says, you want to take a fight in short notice? She says, sure, I want to make some money. And I love that. Again, this is the part of the sport that a lot of fighters just, they don't get. It's not a guaranteed contract. You don't get guaranteed money by sitting out. You have to fight. You have to play. So it is what it is. Rob's asking, what's next for Till against who? I'm pretty sure they'll run back that Jared Cannonier fight. I mean, it still makes sense. The problem is Paulo Costa still would be number one contender in that division for the Adesanya Romero winner. So Cannonier, even though he probably does deserve a title shot, will probably have to sit out a little bit more. So, yeah, I think Till versus Cannonier, that would be a good fight. But I think Robert Whittaker versus Till would be a good fight as well. One of those two guys. Also, maybe the loser of the main event tomorrow, that could possibly be next for Till as well. Anyone in the top five, really. I mean, he does obviously deserve a top five opponent after the win over Calvin Gastelum. Will Jared be out until the end of year? I don't think so. I don't think it's that serious. But, you know, Cole, he's not on the podcast today, but he has a pretty good rapport with Jared. He would know better than me. You could message him on Twitter and ask. One other fight announcement here. This isn't a big one at all. You guys are going to laugh when I say this one. I don't know if you saw it. Sergey Spivak is getting a really quick turnaround fight here against Carlos Felipe at UFC 250. You know, if you're asking me, this must be, like, the quickest turnaround for a guy that got his ass kicked, like, ever. I mean, this guy looked terrible against Marcin Tybura. Spivak, overall, 1-2 now. He lost to Wal Harris, lost to Tybura, got dominated both of his fights. He did beat Ty Tuivasa, but Ty's not very good either. This is the 4-fight in this deal. Generally, fighters sign 4-fight deals. I think the UFC is like, you know what? Let's get this guy a quick fight, and then we'll see if he wins. We'll keep him around. If he loses, he's gone. This is definitely a make-or-break fight for Spivak. I mean, he looked so bad in the last fight. And he takes on Carlos Felipe here, nicknamed Boy, 25 years old. This is his UFC debut. All his other wins in Brazil. I mean, you talk about beating cans. Look at this guy's record. Look at the opponents he's fought. Like 0-0, 0-2, 1-1. He did beat a guy named Sandro Bezerra, who was 8-2 in his last fight. So good for him, but hasn't fought an MMA fight in 3 years. He did have a boxing bout 2 years ago, but still, that layoff scares me against Spivak, and who knows, right? Spivak's not very good, so I really have no idea what I'm going to favor in this fight. I guess Spivak because of the experience, but man, I wouldn't want to lay money on that guy. That would be a huge mistake, in my opinion. All right, let's see. Robert asked, who's going to be picking, Lee or Oliver? Lee or Oliver? I can't give that pick away yet. We have to wait till next week, man. Tuesday. Me and Cole, we don't give our picks away now until the show starts. Just better that way. But you can see who's favored at the sportsbook right now, and that would be Kevin Lee, a small favorite at minus 140, Charles Oliveira plus 120. I just noticed they released a bunch of odds, actually, guys. So UFC 248, we already know about that card. That's this weekend. But the Bellator card's already out, which is nice. Nice that they released that early. UFC ESPN card next week, which I just mentioned, Lee Oliveira, that's out. Willie Edwards is out already, which is good, the full card. Nagano Rosenstruck, the full card was just released. And then we have a few other cards like Overeem Harris and Khabib Ferguson. A couple of those fights on those cards were announced as well. And a few other main events were just announced, including Poirier Hooker, Weidman Hermanson, Smith Teixeira, and Yan Moraes. So those were all just announced. So yeah, pretty good stuff there by the sportsbook, getting those odds out early and getting some people to throw their money down early. All right.